Man. Okay. Well, good morning. What a special delight it is to be able to be here with you. I do bring you greetings from my mom and dad. We were down in Texas where they live, in Georgetown, Texas. We're celebrating his 91st birthday, and we appreciate your prayers for him as well. As you may know that he has been diagnosed with bone cancer and started in prostate and has moved over. But he's doing rather well and some radiation treatment, and he's in good spirits and had a wonderful celebration. And to cap off a celebration of his birthday, we were able to see Tennessee beat Auburn.
Yeah.
Miracles still happen.
Amen.
And so it was a good day. Now, part of my family now has become Texas Longhorn fans. I know. And we watched Tennessee and celebrated with Tennessee beating Auburn. And then I had to watch Texas beat Oklahoma. So that was a full day and a great celebration. All of us siblings, my siblings were there, and almost all of the grandkids. Now, not all the great-grandkids, that would have been too many, but we had a wonderful time together and celebrating, and they do bring you their greetings as well. And what a delight it is to be with your pastor, and we congratulate you as a church and him being elected. You do know he was elected to the general board of the Church of the Nazarene, and that's tremendous. That's a high honor, as he will be serving with delegates from around the world as they meet yearly for meetings and to take care of the business of the church. And we congratulate him, one of the few pastors from the U.S.-Canada region that is on the part of the general board. And so we'll look forward to seeing him in February. And congratulations to you as a church for this honor for him as well. Well, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them and turn with me to the book of Exodus, Genesis, Exodus, second book in the Old Testament. We'll have it on the screens as well. My wife got pretty ambitious here lately with a major project that she wanted to do. She wanted to take all of our photo albums. You know what I'm talking about? Now, for some of you who are younger, a photo album was what we used to do in the old days. When you had cameras where you would actually take a picture, then you would take the film to some place, and they would develop the film, and they would give you little this size pictures. Then you would take those pictures, and you would put them in these books. They had kind of a sticky thing, and you'd open it up, put the pictures in there, and fold it back, and then you'd have them in an album. So we had, for all of our married life and for our kids growing up, we had the row of these albums. And so she decided she was going to take all of those pictures, go through them. The ones that weren't any good anyway, she'd throw them away. But then she would scan the pictures and then put them on a digital disc. So she put them on one of those discs, DVDs. And that will be good until they're no longer DVDs and we'll have to convert it to something else. That's the way we used to do it. So she's been really, really busy going through a whole lifetime of pictures, including her mom's, who passed away this year. And she took all of her old pictures, put them on there, and then on Shutterfly, she made a book of her mom's life and gave it to her siblings. It is really special. So she's been very busy. But it's amazing, as you look back at those pictures, how things change. Your hairdos, the clothes you wear. It's very interesting to watch my wife, her history of hairdos. She wanted to throw some of those out. I said, no, you got to keep some of those too. And to see the kids as they've grown up and now the grandkids, it was a lot of fun. I think it's important for us to once in a while just to stop and look back at our past. And so we've relived those days. It's amazing as you look at a picture how you can just, boom, it's a memory that comes back, and it's almost like you're reliving it a little bit. And it's interesting as we look back, and I love the swing analogy, don't you? How, as I try to teach my grandkids how to swing on a swing, And only four of them have fallen out. You know, when I pushed them too hard, they fell out. But not any last, no, I'm only kidding. They haven't done that. I tell them to hold on real tight. And as they learn how to do a swing, it's always a leaning back before you can thrust yourself forward. We even see that in the book of Exodus with the story of Moses. Do you know who Moses was? Let me just quickly remind you who Moses was. For some of you, you might not have been raised in the church. Moses, he was born in captivity. His mom and dad were slaves, actually, in Egypt. They were Israelites, but they were slaves in Egypt. In the miracle of miracles, all of the baby boys were to be killed, but God spared Moses' life. And he was adopted into the home of Pharaoh. So he grew up like in the king's home, the Pharaoh's home, and all the benefits of that. And then as he got a little older with all the training stuff, his heart yearned to help the Israelites who were in captivity, who were slaves for Pharaoh and all of his workforce. And so he went out and impulsively he killed somebody, and then Pharaoh said, I'm going to get you for killing somebody. And so he had to escape, and he went off into the desert and lived in the desert working for his father-in-law, taking care of his sheep. And so one day, as he is taking care of the sheep, God spoke to him and said, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt, and I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses said, sure, I'll get right on that. No, Moses said, no, I can't do that. I can't go back. I'm a wanted man. And two, I'm not a very good communicator, and I can't talk too well. And Aaron's my brother. He's a good talker. Maybe he could do it. No, I want you to go back. And he said, but if I go back, what am I saying? Just tell Pharaoh, hey, by the way, Pharaoh, God said, let all of your workforce leave. That's going to go over real well. And so we see in the book of Exodus, we see that God sent plagues to try to encourage Pharaoh. And finally, he would say, yeah, you can go. No, you can't go. Yeah, you can. No, you can't go. And finally, it came down to the last plague, and that was the death angel passed over Egypt. And all the firstborn of every household was slain, except the Israelites, because they put the door, remember, they put the blood on the door of their homes. And so the angel passed over. That's why the Jews celebrate Passover, passed over and spared them. So finally, Pharaoh said, hey, get out of here. I don't want you anymore. Go worship your God. And so they took off, and they went in out, and they were heading out to the promised land, back home. But then Pharaoh woke up the next morning and said, okay, who's going to bring me my breakfast? Who's going to do the work here? Where are all the slave laborers? They're gone. Well, let's go get them. And so he changed his mind, got all his army and troops, all of them together, and started chasing after the Israelites. And finally, they came to the and caught up with the Israelites right at the coastline of the Red Sea. And it gets us to Exodus chapter 14. Let's look at the screen. You'll see the passage here. And so chapter 14, beginning verse 10. So as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. And the Israelites were terrified and cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than it would be to die out here in the desert. That's where they were. And Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see to the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. And the Egyptians will you see today, you know, these Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. For the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Verse 15, and then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise up your staff. Stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Amen. So we see here they came to to another big challenge. And as God has challenged Moses and the children of Israel, he's saying, hey, I brought you here not to die, but I brought you here to move forward. Amen. And as he is challenging them to go forward, I think that on this homecoming Sunday, that the words that we read today, they're also a challenge for us. Amen. to not only celebrate our past, but also to look forward to what God has for us. Notice in this passage how the past kind of pushed them forward. It was the memory of those many years of captivity and slavery, how they remembered how their forefathers had served Pharaoh faithfully, rigorously, and yet how Pharaoh had continued to lay more and more oppression and harder work upon them, and how their lives were bitter, and how they had to struggle with making the bricks and mortars. And all of this, the knowledge of their past and how it was back then, really was something that was going to push the children of Israel forward. Now, the thing about our past is we can do one of two things with our past. We can remember our past and move forward, or we can remember our past and be stuck there. You know people like that, don't you? You know people that are still living in the past. All they talk about is the good old days. All they can talk about is how what they did when they were 30 years ago or 40 years ago. They're kind of stuck in the past. And you know, the truth of the matter is that there are some people that are stuck in the past spiritually as well. Amen. Maybe they're living on past good days, when I was close with the Lord, when I was serving Jesus, and everything was good, and they're kind of stuck there. But I also recognize from a negative perspective that there are some people that the devil wants to keep you stuck with your past. Oh, this is the way you used to be. I remember what you used to do. I remember how you used to live your life. I know the things that you did. And he keeps pulling you back to a life that used to be. But I want you to know that today, friends, that God doesn't want you to be stuck in your past. Spiritually, he wants you to have a brand new day. In fact, he tells us in his word that if we confess our sins, no matter how great, how gross, how bad they were, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that good news? In fact, when we do that, then we become not old creatures. We become brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. The old is gone and the brand new has come. So I'm here to tell you today, you don't have to be slave to your past, no matter what it was. But you can be forgiven of your past and you can become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen? And when we ask him to forgive us of our sins, you know what he does? Think of this for here a minute. This is a big whiteboard, and he's written all your sins up there. When we confess our sins, you know what he does? He takes this eraser, eternal eraser, and he just removes them all. And all of our sins are forgiven and forgotten and thrown into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us again. That's good news, isn't it? So today, we remember our past. And we thank God for what he's done for us, for the new life that he's given us, that we are new creatures. We've been adopted into his family. And that past needs to help push us forward into our present. Well, what was the present for the children of Israel? Well, look at that. It's amazing what they were doing. Where they were right there. They had just left Egypt. I told you that. They were running away from Pharaoh. Pharaoh had said they could go and worship, and then he changed his mind. So now they've come right after them. So they've come to this place where the Red Sea is in front of them. They're surrounded by mountains on each side, and Pharaoh's behind them, coming with all of his army. That doesn't look like a very good place to be in, does it? But it was their present that prodded them forward. And so the Israelites, as they lifted up their eyes, they thought, saw they were terrified. They were afraid. But notice what it says in verse 10. As Pharaoh approached them, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after, and they were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. Their hearts melted in fear. It was a hopeless cry. They said, "We're done now." Then they turned to Moses and said, "Hey, I know why you brought us out here. There weren't enough graves in Egypt. You brought us out here to die." That's not full of hope. And then they said, "Hey, it would have been better for us to be slaves in Egypt than to die out here in the desert." They didn't look forward to their future, did they? They was a hopeless cry. It was a bitter cry. They then began to complain against Moses. But notice what Moses did. He met their unbelief. He met their complaints. He met their fear with a strong faith, in the energy of that strong faith. He said, wait a second. I know it doesn't look too good right here, but I want you to know that the people you see today, you're not going to see them again. I want you to know that you don't need to be afraid of what's happening right around you, because God will deliver you. And can I tell you something? As an individual, I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what situations that you're encountering, but I want to tell you something. God knows where you are. In fact, one of his names is Jehovah Roy, which means the God who sees us. He sees where we are. He knows what you're facing. He knows what heartaches you have. He knows what pressure you are under. He knows what circumstances you're... Nothing catches him off guard. But listen to this. He not only said, is my name Jehovah Roy, the God who sees. He said, my name is also Jehovah Shema, which means the Lord who is here. Amen. So he not only sees where you are, you know what he wants to do? He wants to come and walk right beside you. Exactly. He will never leave you nor forsake you, but he will walk with you each and every step of the way. Whatever it is that you're facing. Let me tell you this. A friend of mine used to say this. He said, whatever is the matter, God's bigger than whatever it is. Amen. And I'm here to tell you that the God that we sang about, this great and awesome God, is a God who is able to meet whatever it is that you're facing. And he's able to not only be with you through it, but he will see you through it. Amen. On the other side. Amen. And we can praise God, even here today as a church. And to be honest with you, right now the church is under a lot of attack around the world. Our church is suffering in different places. Some are fearful that the missionaries don't have to leave because of government pressures. Some are being persecuted because of their faith. And by the way, I just want to say thank you to you as a church. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving down through the years. Every year this church has been in existence, you've paid your budgets for world evangelism. In other words, you've supported the work of God and what he's doing around the world. And we want to say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. And it's because of your faithfulness down through the years and because of your work and witness experiences that you've done. I saw the map down there of all the places you've been. It's because of your faithfulness that God's continuing to do some great things around the world through the Church of the Nazarene. In fact, do you know this? Listen to this. In the last 5 years, we've added 600,000 new members to the Church of the Nazarene. That's a lot of people. And it's because of your faithfulness. And we can praise God because we are serving a God who hears and a God who answers our prayers. We can praise him because he is able to meet most of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Oh, by the way, the Bible says it a little different. He says he is able to meet all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And we can rejoice today, no matter where we are, we can rejoice today because we are serving a God who is still alive and is still on the throne. He still reigns and he still rules and he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So when you get a little discouraged and when you start focusing on things down here, remember this, keep your eyes up here. Because he is still in charge. Amen. And he is still in control. And he is here working in your midst as a church. And we thank God for what he is doing. But you know what? God's not finished with any of us yet. And it's our future that pulls us forward. Look at verse 13. Moses answered the people. Now put yourself where they are, okay? The sea's here, the mountains are here, Pharaoh's there. Look what he says. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. For the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. And the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to get going. Let's move forward. Let's move on. And I think that's what God wants to say to us and to you today on this Homecoming Sunday. Hey, stand firm. Don't be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. This is His church. Amen. You are His people. Amen. He has a plan for your life. And He promises that He will build His church. Amen. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So good news is we're on the winning team. Amen? Amen. And we don't need to be afraid. He has His plans and He will work out His plans. No matter where you are, what you're facing, don't be afraid. In fact, Jesus said to His disciples over and over and over again, peace, peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. So whenever you start getting full of fear, look to the one who promises to give us His peace. But then He also said, stand firm. Stand firm in our doctrine. Stand firm in our commitment. Stand firm in our preaching and living scriptural holiness. Stand firm in evangelism. As a church, you need to stand firm in that. Don't back up on that. Continue to reach people for Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Does everybody in this town go to church? Do you know some people that don't know about Jesus? One or two? Three or four? I mean, do you work with some? Do you go to school with some that don't know Jesus yet? Well, let me tell you something. It's our responsibility to stand firm in our commitment to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who don't know Him. Well, you know, I don't want to push my faith on other people. Let me ask you something. Would you rather them just go to hell so that you're not imposing on them? Let me just tell you something, that people that don't know Jesus Christ, many of them have never heard the difference that He can make in their lives. Many of them are blinded to the truth. Some of them have the Satan's grip on them. They can't break out themselves. They need us. They're waiting for you. Amen. They're waiting for you to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ, how their past can be forgiven, how they can have a freedom today to be the person God created them to be. Tell them about the joy and the peace that comes from knowing Him. Yeah. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? In fact, it's better than buying a lottery ticket because you're not going to win there, but with Jesus, you're going to win. And we must be committed as a church. And I'm thankful for what you're doing with showing the indivisible and for what you're doing to reach out. And we commend you and we thank God for all that you're doing already to see this building filled up twice on Sunday morning. To see the good things that you're doing. But I want to tell you something. We can't stay in our present. We need to go forward. Amen. We need to be involved in telling other people and boys and girls that are going to school across the street and junior high students across the street. We need to tell those teachers that are across the street how much God loves them and what a difference He can make in their lives. And we need to continue to be committed. Now, let me just tell you this. That's just not the pastor and the staff's job. Because they're not going to see most of those people. But it's our job. All of us are to be His witnesses. And once they come to know Him, what do? We disciple them. We help them not just to be baby Christians, but to grow up in their faith. And the way that you have been committed to prayer down through the years, continue to be committed to praying for people. Amen? Amen? What else does He say? He says, see the deliverance or salvation. I love Exodus 14, verse 29. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But look what it says here. Let me just read some of it. But the Israelites went through on the sea on dry ground with the wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And when the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord, the people feared the Lord and they put their trust in Him. And as we go forward into the future for you as a church, let's continue to see the salvation of the Lord on people's lives. Let's continue to see the power of God at work in this place and through this church. Let's continue to put our trust in Him. And so what does God say to Moses? Okay, Moses, get going. It's time to get going. Pick up that staff. Hold it over the Red Sea. And when Moses reached out in faith, you know what God did? He moved out in power. Amen. And the seas parted. And when you and I, standing firm in Him, believing in Him, when we take that step of faith, whether it's giving to a building program, or whether it's relocating and building a new building, or whether it's talking to a neighbor, when we reach out and take that step of faith, then God backs it up with His power and His force. And because of that, you know what I can say? You've had some great days as a church. Praise God. But can I tell you something? That with Him, the best days for you and your life, oh, that's preacher talk. I'm old. I'm retired. I can't think of the best days. Oh, yeah, let me tell you, the best days are ahead for us because we know where we're going. We know who we're going to see, and we know who goes with us. And the best days of this church and the best days of your life are in the front of you. As we move out in faith, He'll move out and power. So let's get going. Let's move forward. Let's lean back in that swing and let's take a ride. Woo! To where He wants us to go. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father,